Well, I'm delighted to be here once again this evening to represent the work and witness of the Trinitarian Bible Society. Since 1831, the Society has been promoting faithful and trustworthy translations of God's Word. So at the end of last year, we were commemorating our 190th anniversary. The Society stays at the same position that it was in 1831, we haven't removed from those founding principles of seeking to produce faithful editions of the Word of God. And I'm sure collectively we believe Proverbs 30 verse 5, where it says, every word of God is pure. And that means we have to give due weight and consideration to each word in the Greek of the New Testament and each word in the Hebrew of the Old Testament, seeking to convey as much of the sense as possible by using just one word, if that's possible, in the receptor language. It's a tremendous responsibility, but the Lord has blessed us with a large number of very gifted people who are working for us all around the world, seeking to provide the Word of God for those people who as yet may not have a complete Bible or may not have an accurate translation of the Word of God in their mother tongue. So this is the grand ambition of the Society. Last year, the Society was able to publish and distribute 4.3 million scripture items, translated into 38 languages and sent out to 108 countries. So looking at it from an alphabetical point of view, you have Algeria and Albania at one end of the alphabet and Zambia and Zimbabwe at the other end. And further details will become available very soon when our annual report is published, and you can read it online as well as having a hard copy when it's produced if you so wish. Now, this year, of course, has been a special year for Queen and country. I'm sure I don't need to remind you of the Jubilee celebrations at the beginning of June. But TBS has published, as you well know, a large quantity of special Platinum Jubilee commemorative Bibles. Before I say any more about the Bibles, let me say a few words about the Queen. Our Queen Elizabeth is the first British monarch to reach this milestone. Queen Victoria reigned for over 63 years, but 70 years is a record. And that there are special exhibitions have been set up in the royal residences throughout the UK. And I understand that at the Jubilee weekend, 3,500 beacons were lit throughout this country and around Commonwealth countries also. Now, it has been said that our Queen is the still small voice of calm in the midst of a social revolution. I think to some extent that's true. She's conducted herself in a dignified way for these seven decades, and what tremendous changes she has seen in that period of time. And she hasn't been without her own problems, family-wise and personally. You may recall 1992, she described as her Annus Horribilis, or horrible year. That was when St. George's Chapel at Windsor was destroyed by fire. And at the same time, some very sad revelations became public regarding members of her family. And she's not without her public embarrassments at the present time with her family. I came across this quotation, I think it's worth repeating. At her first Privy Council, she made her accession declaration, resolving to follow her father's example of service and devotion. And in a broadcast to the nation, she looked forward to her coronation, for which she was preparing with prayer and meditation. She appealed to her audience to pray for me on the day. Pray that God may give me wisdom and strength to carry out the solemn promises I shall be making. Now, many years ago, there was a man who got a job at Buckingham Palace in the royal kitchens. His task was to do the washing up. He did the job well. He progressed through the ranks. Eventually, he became the Queen's valet. His testimony of the Queen was this: every morning on her breakfast table, he noticed she had an open Bible in front of her. Now, we do pray for the Queen. We are exhorted to do so in the scriptures. And we pray the Lord will bless her through her contacts with the Word of God, and we're thankful for the occasions when publicly, particularly in her Christmas Day broadcast, she has made mention of her faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and of the gospel plan, and also she's spoken of forgiveness and a sense of accountability to Almighty God. We're thankful for for the things the Queen has said. Perhaps sometimes we'd wish she might have said more, but we are thankful for those things that she has said in this regard. Now, TBS published 40,000 copies of this special Platinum Jubilee Bible. It has the royal insignia for the Jubilee on the front cover, so it's suitably inscribed as an introductory page. And we have been very encouraged that all 40,000 have been purchased for distribution. We've been encouraging churches and auxiliaries to reach out to local schools to see if the door might open to present the Word of God to a younger generation. And we found 10 years ago for the Diamond Jubilee that the door opened in many schools because the Queen being the most famous woman in the world, it just seemed to open the door. And people were able to go to present Bibles and to speak to the children. We feel that's important, not just to provide Bibles, just send them on, but if possible, arrange an opportunity to actually go and speak to the children, to explain this isn't just a memento or a keepsake. This is the Word of God that needs to be read again and again. So we don't want children to be putting away on a shelf and just forgotten, but we want it to be read and to be searched diligently. And we pray, don't we, that God will stir up the hearts of these young people, as was mentioned earlier in the meeting, that God will touch their hearts. Let us not forget that today's children are going to be tomorrow's parents, and if their lives are spared, grandparents as well. Tomorrow's tradespeople, business people, shopkeepers, managers, politicians, governors, councillors, who knows what they might be. And if God is pleased to hear and answer our prayers for the blessing to rest upon these scriptures, then hearts will be touched and souls will be saved, and these young people will become godly young men and godly young women as they take their place in society. That's what we pray for, isn't it? For God's blessing, for the enlargement of his kingdom through the Word of God. I'm very encouraged to hear of the success you've had as a local auxiliary, the Greater London Auxiliary, in reaching out to so many schools and so many Bibles have been presented. That really is quite encouraging. And in Bedford, we've been quite encouraged. About half the schools we wrote to said no, very much depends on the head teacher, but the other half said yes. Some wanted just 5, one for each classroom. Another school said they'd like 32 for a whole class to look at the Bible together. Another school said they'd like 65 for 2 classes, but other schools have had larger quantities. One school wanted 120, and another school 497, and another 530. So we really have been quite encouraged. We've had some opportunities to go and speak to the children, and we're given almost as much time as you wanted on one occasion to speak about the Word of God and why it's important and the glorious message of grace and salvation. There was one school on the outskirts of Bedford that initially said no, and it was suggested that they might like to contact the parents to see if perhaps the parents would like their children to have a Bible. They are rather cautious because some of the children come from Muslim families. But Bibles were presented to at least 40 children, and some of the Muslim children are very happy to have a Bible. In fact, one of the mothers of one of the Muslim families said that she happened to be going to a garden party at Buckingham Palace. She said she was going to take this Jubilee Bible with her to get the Queen to sign it. Well, I thought that was a bit rather ambitious, but nevertheless, she was very pleased to have the Bible. That's what really matters, isn't it? And we trust the Lord will do great things through his word. I have a letter here from a school in the Isle of Wight. In fact, it was one of the pupils who sent me a letter. In fact, quite a number of the pupils that year sent me letters. They had done some colouring. They'd also expressed their thanks for the Bible that I presented to them. I usually go to this school once a year when I visit that island to speak in the churches. And this comes to us from an 11-year-old boy called Toby. He said, "It was very nice of you to give away Bibles for free. Thank you very much. I will treasure my holy Bible like it's the crown jewel." So I thought that was rather special. And we're very thankful for such responses concerning the presentation of the Word of God. I'd like to read another letter to you. This comes to us from Romania, and no connection, of course, with the Jubilee. But this refers to the TBS Romanian Bible, which we revised a few years ago to make it more accurate, to make it conform more closely to the original languages. And we've sent large quantities over the years, and contacts in the city of Cluj were very happy to receive some. They are running a cancer clinic, and I was quite encouraged by this report. Dear friends at TBS, we acknowledge with thanks the receipt of the Romanian Bibles and New Testaments. We give accommodation to cancer patients who come to the Cluj clinics for radiotherapy and chemotherapy treatments. They stay with us as it is too far for them to travel in each day for a 15-minute treatment, and we offer free transport to the clinic. We have many opportunities to share our faith with them and help them understand how to cope with their illness and recuperation. We place a Bible in each of their bedrooms, and we have a selection of Christian literature in a small library for them to read. When they leave us, we present them with a Bible and a plant pot with a plant in it, and on the pot it has John 3 verse 16 printed. They are always ready to receive these gifts, and we pray that the Word of God will make an impact on them even after they leave us and return to their homes. I thought that was a rather nice touch, really, because you can quite understand how people attending this clinic might be quite anxious about their condition, not sure how things might progress, whether the treatment might be successful or not, and they're being shown compassion and kindness in a practical way, and also they're being directed to the Lord Jesus Christ and given the Word of God to read as they return home. And we're very thankful for such faithful witnesses for the truth, and we pray God's blessing upon the good work they're doing there in Romania. Now, this year marks the 300th anniversary of the birth of John Brown of Haddington. Now, you may be thinking to yourself, well, why do I need to know about that? Well, John Brown of Haddington was an outstanding scholar, a linguist, and a pastor and a preacher. And he produced a self-interpreting Bible. And TBS has taken advantage of the tremendous scholarship and the tremendous work that he did in putting it together. And I shall say a bit more about that in a moment, but the Westminster Bible is very much indebted to the tremendous work that John Brown did all those years ago. Now, he came from a poor family, and sadly, he was orphaned of both of his parents at the age of 12. And during his teenage years, he cared for sheep. It was just a very humble, ordinary occupation. But one day he heard a sermon that really convicted him of his need of salvation, and he realized the seriousness of his condition as an unbeliever. And he went on for some time with a sense of agony of soul before he came to experience the healing balm of the gospel from those great words in Isaiah 53 concerning Christ being wounded for our transgressions. And upon his conversion, he felt a concern to learn New Testament Greek. And he did so. He taught himself while he was looking after the sheep. And he searched diligently, and he learned these things very, very well. He had a great gift in languages. So by the age of 16, having saved up some money over a period of years, he was able to buy his very own copy of the Greek New Testament. So he went off to the university bookroom at St. Andrews, and he walked all night to get there, and he arrived there in the morning, and one of the professors of the university was rather surprised to see this shepherd boy asking to buy a Greek New Testament. And he said to him, "Now, if you can read to me this page of New Testament Greek, you can have this New Testament free of charge." And he was very pleased to take away with him a free Greek New Testament. Well, he went on to do great things. He became a professor of divinity, a pastor at Haddington, which is about 18 miles east of Edinburgh. He was there for 36 years. But he is particularly remembered for his self-interpreting Bible. And it is said that he spent so long searching the scriptures, so diligent in comparing one scripture with another, so that he get his reference system as clear and as consistent as possible. He wore out five Bibles in the process. And that just gives you some insight into the tremendous work that he did. And his Bible contained a number of explanations and helpful comments, And one man said this: "Your self-interpreting Bible seems to stand in lieu of all other commentaries, and I'm daily receiving so much edification and instruction from it that I wish it in the hands of all serious ministers." Well, TBS has taken on all the scripture references that he used in his self-interpreting Bible, and we've added a few others from other reference Bibles, and that's what prompted us to produce the Westminster Reference Bible. So there's over 200,000 references in this Bible, and that means we had to put two margins on each page to allow room for the many, many references. In addition, we decided where there might be an unusual word in the main text. We put the explanation for that word next to the verse to help people understand it, particularly if they're new to the Authorized Version. In addition, there's a new range of maps in the back, and also information on weights, measures, and currencies. So it's a tremendous Bible, really. Very helpful. I've had one now for some time. I've found it very, very useful on a daily basis, comparing one scripture with another. And that's how God intends us to understand his word, primarily to search the scriptures and to seek to discern the mind of the Spirit thereby. And we are selling this one for just £16.50 in the hardback variety. We have also a leather-bound edition. We have a large print also, but also we have compact size, and they're available tonight after the meeting if you're interested. And we trust the Lord will continue to bless people through the reading of the Word of God and searching the Scriptures. It's good to come and hear ministry to benefit from other people's presentation of God's Word, but we also have a responsibility to read the Scriptures for ourselves and to ask God to enlighten us, to give us understanding according to his word. It's a good prayer to pray, isn't it? That when we come to the scriptures, Lord, show me the truth. Make me to know the word. Show me Christ in all the scriptures. And such heartfelt prayers will never go unanswered. So I commend to you then the scriptures in the form of the Westminster Reference Bible based upon the John Brown self-interpreting Bible. I would perhaps hasten to add, we didn't incorporate his notes and comments before, because the society was set up in 1831 to publish Bibles without note and comment, but we've adopted his reference system to help the reader. Now, moving on to another aspect of the work of TBS, and that is the production of scripture calendars. And basically, there are two types of calendar that we produce. First of all, the well-known Words of Life calendar with a verse of scripture for each month. And this has an evangelistic endeavor to reach out to people with God's truth. And the intention by these verses, they've been chosen to try and bring people to an awareness of why they need salvation and how that salvation has been provided in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And over the years, we've heard some encouraging testimonies of how God has spoken to people through the scriptures. Some time ago, a man who visits prisons, particularly Lewis Prison in Sussex, said to me that through the circulation of the English Words of Life calendars, he was aware of at least one person who was converted. There may have been more, we don't know. But he knew of at least one man who had come to a saving knowledge of the truth through reading these verses. One pastor told me some time ago that having distributed these in his home area, one day he was in the garden and his neighbour called to him and said, "Can you explain to me what the verse on the calendar means for this month?" It was the verse from Isaiah 53, "The Lord hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all." She said, "I don't want a sermon, but can you just explain to me what that verse means?" And it was a wonderful opportunity to explain the very heart of the gospel, the substitutionary work of our Lord Jesus Christ. So it may be the means of starting some very profitable conversations, and often it can be an icebreaker. And people may turn down the offer of a New Testament or a Gospel of John, but they may take a calendar from you because it has a practical use. That may be the only reason why they take it. But if they put it up in their home, there is a testimony for the Lord 365 days in the year. Now, it's quite possible that you have friends or neighbours or even yourself, English isn't your first language, or you have people and you know it's not their first language. It's quite possible that we have a Words of Life calendar in what is your first language and your friends and neighbours' first language. So I would suggest going to our website. In the next few weeks, you will find that they'll be uploaded to our website and a whole variety of languages will be available. And it may be a blessing to pass these on to others. So I commend to you then the Words of Life calendar. One very encouraging account of God's blessing came to me only last year. In October, I was taking a meeting in Welshpool in Mid Wales. And after the meeting, a lady came up to me and said that before the COVID pandemic, her father-in-law had no interest whatsoever in the things of God. And then he caught the coronavirus and was seriously ill. And this shook him. And it was the means of making him more open to hearing about the message of salvation. And what particularly was a blessing was the way in which, as she's trying to learn the Welsh language, she was very carefully and very slowly trying to pronounce the various words in the Welsh language of these texts of Scripture. But as she did so, from time to time, the Lord spoke to that man's heart through the word and brought him into an experience of salvation. He's now been called home to be with the Lord. So you never know how the Lord may use this simple testimony for the truth in this particular form. And some hundreds of thousands of these calendars are produced by the Society year after year. Then there's the very simple Golden Thoughts calendar. You may have seen these over the years, just black text on white paper and a verse of scripture for every day of the year. Now, this has an interesting history. Let me explain. In 1905, a lady by the name of Miss Amy Young went to a special gospel mission at the Royal Albert Hall. It was the means of her conversion. And as a result of her conversion, she became concerned about trying to spread God's word. So she purchased large quantities of Bible verse calendars. And she went on year after year doing this good work. Then the Second World War came, and in 1940, a bomb dropped on the printer's premises in the heart of London. And she was now faced with a problem. How could she carry on this good work? So she prayerfully searched the scriptures, trying to find suitable verses for 1941. And one of her brothers, who had some experience in design, laid out the format of a calendar. So in that first year, 1941, 1,000 Golden Thoughts calendars were produced. And the work just expanded from there on. By 1969, she felt she's getting too old to carry on. So she approached the Trinitarian Bible Society to see if the society would be interested in taking on this work. It was agreed that we'd do so, but she made one stipulation, and that was that the Golden Thoughts calendar in English must stay in exactly the same format as 1941. So if you ever look at this and think, isn't it about time they changed the typeface? Under the present arrangement, we're not able to do so. But when it comes to foreign translations, we change it as we think fit. Now, there are 11 languages that we produce these calendars in, and they've been a blessing to so many people down through the years. Now, Miss Amy Young reached the great age of 104 when she died. And she had left the whole of her estate in Sussex to produce these calendars for the future. And there was permission sought, I think it was for 9 properties on her estate to be built, so it made the property very valuable indeed. And that large sum of money was placed in a special Golden Thoughts fund. And the interest from that fund, year after year, produces a large quantity of calendars, some hundreds of thousands of calendars. In fact, some years as much as 500,000 Golden Thoughts calendars. Now, I have a letter here from South Africa, which I'd like to read to you regarding these calendars. And they wrote to us to say, we distributed the first box of Golden Thoughts calendars to various people. They usually wait in anticipation to receive their Golden Thoughts calendars, as they use the daily scriptures as their bread of life in their daily walk. Many people in rural areas do not have Bibles. The past few years were very difficult because of a severe drought. Most of the people in Ovamboland region lost many or all of their cattle. The people need something to hold on to and were ready for receiving the word of God. It is sad to say, but in difficult times, people are more inclined to be seeking after God. In a time like that, the Golden Thoughts calendars are like water in the desert to thirsty souls. We trust our Father in heaven that the words of Psalm 42, verse 2, "My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God," will become the daily walk for each of them that receive a Golden Thoughts calendar, and that their thirst will be quenched by the living word. And we receive quite a large number of letters from different parts of the world of deep appreciation. People get up in the morning, they read the verse for the day, often just a short part of the word, not necessarily a whole verse, but something to think about, to memorize. And then they follow the advice at the bottom of the calendar, which says, for further blessing, read the whole chapter. And so they're seeing the context also in which that verse is found, which is very helpful to them. Now, we heard a very interesting account of the way God blessed one of these calendars some time ago. A lady was expecting a baby. She was driving her car, and her husband was the passenger in the front, and she had a little boy in the back of the car. Then a man pulled out in front of her. He was under the influence of drink, and a terrible collision took place. She lost the baby she was carrying. Her husband and the little boy died. In those tragic, tragic circumstances, a lady over in Essex heard about this and sent her an English Golden Thoughts calendar. It was the means of God's blessing. So in the midst of her sorrows, she came to experience the joy of salvation. So she put the calendar up on the wall. Now one day there was a knock at her door. When she opened the door, there was a down and out. Now I don't know whether she'd met this man before or not, but she thought she'd invite him in. And he noticed the calendar and he said, "What is that?" And she explained that this was a Bible verse calendar. He was so interested that in the end, she agreed to conduct a Bible study with him and some of his friends in her home. So when the day arrived, she opened the door. To her surprise, they were all standing there with Bibles tucked under their arms. She said, "Where did you get them from?" "Oh, we nicked them from the church down the road." So she made contact with the church, and they said, "Yes, we know about it already because we caught them on CCTV. But if they want these Bibles, they can have them." So in these rather unusual circumstances, a Bible study commenced, and God wonderfully blessed those opportunities of the gospel plan being explained to them. And a new church was formed as a direct result of God's blessing on those occasions. Don't forget where it began, a Golden Thoughts calendar on the wall of someone's home. So again, I say, you never know how the Lord may use this simple, straightforward testimony for the truth of the Word of God. Now, moving on to some of the translations that we are particularly encouraged by at the present time, I think it would be appropriate for me to say a few words about the Ukraine. Of course, we've all been very concerned about the situation that has arisen over the past several months. Now, the Ukraine is one of the largest European countries. It became independent in 1991 and has often been referred to as the global breadbasket because it literally has millions of acres of fertile soil. And it's been one of the largest grain exporters, and there's considerable fear as to the way in which the grain exports are being interrupted and what may happen, particularly in African countries, where it's often difficult to feed the hungry and may be much more difficult this year. Now, Ukrainian is the official language of the Ukraine, and TBS publish a complete Ukrainian Bible. In fact, I received two phone calls at the end of February, just after hostilities broke out, and both people were saying the same thing. "We've heard they've run out of Bibles in the Ukraine. Can TBS do anything to help?" So we set up a special fund, and people have made contributions to this fund, which have enabled us to send scriptures to the people that are displaced. It's quite difficult getting things into the Ukraine itself, but there are many, in fact, millions of people displaced in Romania, Poland, Slovakia, and Moldova. And we have the complete Ukrainian Bible. This was translated in the 1800s by a Cossack gentry man who was known as Panteleimon Kalish. So it's simply known as the Kalish translation. And this dialect of Ukrainian is spoken in the western part of the country. The language varies across central and eastern Ukraine. And some years ago, TVS published 10,000 copies of the Ukrainian Bible. It took about 5 years for 5,000 to be purchased for distribution. But then as soon as hostilities broke out, there was an immediate call for the other 5,000. And this is often the case, isn't it? When troubles arise, people are more open, it seems, to hearing about the message of the Word of God. So we're in the process of publishing another 15,000 complete Bibles. In addition, we have published 15,000 Gospels of John in Ukrainian. It's the first time we've published the Gospel of John as a separate publication. And already 13,000 of these have been purchased for distribution. So the demand just keeps on going. Now, in addition to Ukrainian, there are many people who still speak Russian, particularly middle-aged and older people. And TBS has large quantities of Russian scriptures, large print and small print and medium print, and Gospels of John and New Testaments and calendars and so forth. So there's many formats and many practical ways in which we can get the Word of God into the hands of Russian or Ukrainian speaking people. We've even heard of Ukrainian Christians who've been making contact with Russian soldiers and passing on copies of the Russian scriptures to them. And we pray God will bless the terrible circumstances through which they are passing, but bless many through the Word of God placed in their hands at such a time as this. Going back to the end of February, I received a WhatsApp message, and it has to do with missionaries who are working in the western part of Ukraine, and they wrote this: "We would like to turn the Gospel Hall into a place of shelter and accommodation and feed believers who will face many hardships. God is about to give us a great opportunity to show our Christian faith practically and reach out into our community with the gospel." They're determined to remain at their post in spite of the dangers. They want to help people where they can and above all point them to the way of salvation. And we wish them God's protection and God's blessing upon the work they are aiming to do. Just one other translation I wanted to mention, that is the scriptures for the Bulgarian-speaking people. Now, I've never been to Bulgaria, but I understand it's a very beautiful country with majestic mountains and sandy beaches and picturesque villages. Now, Bulgaria has known the gospel over the years. Soon after Pentecost, it's believed the gospel reached that country. We know from the Bible it reached Greece and Macedonia. But Bulgaria, very soon after, was reached with the gospel as well. In the 9th century, there were two brothers, Cyril and Methodius, who we understand did good work in promoting the gospel. And Cyril is particularly remembered because he invented the Cyrillic alphabet, and that's the alphabet used by the Russian people and Ukrainian and Bulgarian and Mongolian. Now, the people of Mongolia today are very much in the mold of the Eastern Orthodox Christian tradition, where there's icons in worship and incense and so-called beauty in worship. And the gospel, sadly, is obscured as a result of these things. Now, there's been no standard Protestant Bible for the people of Bulgaria that's still in use. And TBS was able to find someone who had a particular burden for his fellow countrymen, and he began the work of translation for us. And we were able some time ago to publish 5,000 copies of the Gospel of John in Bulgarian. At one meeting, someone said to me, "Why does it say Noah on the front cover? And why is the end back to front?" Well, it's the right way around, and that is John in Bulgarian. Now, the good news then is that we published 5,000 Gospels of John. The sad news is that our translator has died. He was a middle-aged man. He was found to have an aggressive form of cancer, stomach cancer, and he died only last year. In the mysterious providence of God, that is what happened. We can't always understand why these things happen, but we bow before the sovereignty of God in these things. We are hoping that through the circulation of these 5,000 Gospels of John, it may arouse an interest in Christians in that country, and evangelicals are quite small in number in that country, But we trust there may be others who will be moved to make contact with us, perhaps see if we can move further on in this translation work. There's great need for it. The good news is that there's high literacy rates, in fact near 100% in that country. Sometimes we forget, don't we, that it's all very well producing Bibles, but in some languages many of the people can't actually read. But in Bulgaria, the vast majority of people can. So we value your prayers regarding this. The Lord will provide for us someone to carry on this good work that has been started. And may God bless abundantly these scriptures as they are sent around the country, and may many come to a saving knowledge of the truth. Just one or two other notices I want to mention and things to draw your attention to. On the 15th of September, we have a text and translation day at our headquarters in Morden. And you're welcome to come along if you wish to do so. I realise it will conflict with some people's working commitments, but we have a good lineup of speakers. John Thackway dealing with the doctrine of Scripture, and Dr. Jeff Riddle dealing with the case for the received text. Some of you may have heard him at the Met Tab last November. He's a very gifted speaker and a very gracious speaker as well. And I mention that because sometimes when it comes to these issues, and particularly some of the things you read on the internet, some people can be very aggressive in trying to promote certain aspects regarding Bibles and translation. Puya Mashahi, Farsi translator, will be talking about scriptures for the Persian people. And then Bill Greendike from the USA will be speaking about the method, the important and faithful method of translation in respect to the work of the society. So it proves to be, I trust, a very useful occasion, and I commend that to you. And if you're able to come along, please do so. And they will be recorded, I understand, so there will be an opportunity to hear these messages at a later point. You may like to consider becoming a member of the Society. It's just a £20 subscription for a year's membership, and that helps us move forward in the process of Bible translation and also distributing the scriptures to those who perhaps can't afford to buy them. So you may like to think about filling in a membership form if you wish. You can do so online if you prefer to do it that way. Do help yourself to a quarterly record. We're waiting for the next one to come. It's coming very soon with the annual report. But do help yourself to this issue if you wish, and there's plenty of helpful reading in there. You may like to also receive the quarterly record online. That may be more useful to you. Do feel free to fill in your email details on this card. I'll make sure it gets to headquarters and you'll receive an emailed version and up-to-date news if you wish, if you tick that option. You may like to think about becoming a friend of TBS on Facebook, and you'll get a verse of scripture every day sent to your Facebook page and little video clips of distribution of God's word and the joy that people express in receiving the scriptures they've been waiting for, sometimes for years. That was the case when we sent a large quantity of Simti scriptures for people in India. And as the boxes being unloaded from the lorry, there were shouts of hallelujah and praise the Lord, because they were so delighted to have the whole Bible available in their language. So I commend to you these aspects of the work, and it's a good way of keeping up with what's going on, so you can pray in an informed way about the work of the society. We're going to turn to the Word of God now, and I invite you to turn to Psalm 72. Psalm 72. Psalm 72, a psalm for Solomon. Give the king thy judgments, O God, and thy righteousness unto the king's son. He shall judge thy people with righteousness, and thy poor with judgment. The mountains shall bring peace to the people, and the little hills by righteousness. He shall judge the poor of the people. He shall save the children of the needy, and shall break in pieces the oppressor. They shall fear thee as long as the sun and moon endure throughout all generations. He shall come down like rain upon the mown grass, as showers that water the earth. In his days shall the righteous flourish, and abundance of peace, so long as the moon endureth. He shall have dominion also from sea to sea, and from the river unto the ends of the earth. They that dwell in the wilderness shall bow before him, and his enemies shall lick the dust. The kings of Tarshish and of the isles shall bring presents. The kings of Sheba and Seba shall offer gifts. Yea, all kings shall fall down before him. All nations shall serve him. For he shall deliver the needy when he crieth, the poor also, and him that hath no helper. He shall spare the poor and needy, and shall save the souls of the needy. He shall redeem their soul from deceit and violence, and precious shall their blood be in his sight. And he shall live, and to him shall be given of the gold of Sheba. Prayer also shall be made for him continually, and daily shall he be praised. There shall be an handful of corn in the earth upon the top of the mountains. The fruit thereof shall shake like Lebanon, and they of the city shall flourish like grass of the earth. His name shall endure for ever. His name shall be continued as long as the sun, and men shall be blessed in him. All nations shall call him blessed. Blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who only doeth wondrous things. And blessed be his glorious name for ever. And let the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. The prayers of David, the son of Jesse, are ended. Now, this is one of the great Old Testament messianic psalms. And it says here that it's a psalm for Solomon, and it appears to be written by King David with the prospect of Solomon's accession to the throne. And he anticipates that Solomon's rule and reign will be a period of prosperity and peace and enlargement of the borders, which exactly came to pass, and these things are hinted at here in this psalm. But clearly, that one that's being spoken of here in this psalm goes beyond any earthly king. The greater than Solomon is here in this psalm. You notice verse 5, for example, they shall fear thee as long as the sun and moon endure throughout all generations. That is not referring to any earthly king, is it? It's referring to King Jesus, he who has a kingdom of grace and glory. So what we have here in this psalm is what is sometimes called dual level prophecy. So on the one level, you have David as a prophet speaking of Solomon's reign. And as Old Testament prophets sometimes did, they spoke of things concerning Israel, concerning nations round about, what might happen to them, even in their lifetime perhaps. And then sometimes, almost unexpectedly, they seem to soar heavenwards to a higher plane, to those things that have to do with Christ and the gospel and the kingdom of grace. And that's exactly what you find here in this psalm. So you can look at it at two levels, as it were. But I want to consider it with you very briefly this evening, thinking of Christ in particular. First of all, we notice Christ's righteous rule. Verse 2 says, he shall judge thy people with righteousness and thy poor with judgment. That was true, of course, of King Solomon. He became famous for his wisdom in judgment, particularly in respect to the case of the two harlots that were arguing as to who really owned the living child. One child had died. But there was an argument in the presence of Solomon, and he did a strange thing, didn't he? He called for a sword and cut the baby in half, give them half each, he said. And such was the distress of the true mother that she said she'd rather give away her child to the other than have her child put to death. So that was the means that Solomon employed to discern the real mother, and it became a subject of talk amongst the nations. Now, in a far greater sense, we see our Lord Jesus Christ, the perfect judge, filled with wisdom and knowledge. He shall judge thy people with righteousness and thy poor with judgment. And it's a wonderful truth, isn't it? For God's people who are trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, that we can commit ourselves to him And although we don't always understand his dealings with us in our lives, we know they're always right, that he will always judge his people righteously. He'll never do us an injustice. He'll never do us any wrong. And even though we may experience some painful things in our lives, and we experience many sorrows and heartaches perhaps, but we can be reassured of this: the Lord is working these things together for good. That's where Romans 8:28 comes in, isn't it? For we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. It has been referred to as the family secret of the people of God. You can't say to an unbeliever, if they're in trouble, well, all things are going to work together for good. You don't know that. But it is true of a believer. Of course, we have to be careful how we say it, at what time we say it. If a believer has suddenly been struck with some terrible news, been suddenly bereaved perhaps, and they're in a flood of tears, it'd be of no comfort to them to breezily say, well, all things work together for good. That'd be rather unkind, wouldn't it? But nevertheless, it's true. And in a sensitive way, sometimes we may have to remind other believers and remind ourselves too that all things are going to work together for good. You look in the back of a clock, you may see one wheel going one way and another wheel going the opposite direction. You may think, if you're uninitiated regarding these things, you may think, well, some of them are going the wrong way. But they're all working together for good, aren't they? And so it is in God's dealings with his people. He shall judge thy people with righteousness. It says in Isaiah 32, a king shall reign in righteousness. Well, we can't pursue that thought any further. But moving on to notice the kingdom of Christ. Verse 5, we've noticed already. And verse 17, his name shall endure forever. His name shall be continued as long as the sun, and men shall be blessed in him. All nations shall call him blessed. It's a reminder, prophecy of the expansion of the work of the gospel in the gospel age, that Gentiles, all nations, shall be blessed in him. Well, it's an everlasting kingdom. Daniel prophesied of earthly kingdoms that would rise and flourish and then expire. But he also prophesied of a kingdom which would never be destroyed, the kingdom of the Saviour. The Lord Jesus himself said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. It's a kingdom of grace now, where we experience salvation and come to know the Lord in a saving way. And it leads to an everlasting kingdom of happiness and glory. But when it comes to local churches and nations in particular, sometimes the work of the gospel may appear to decline. And that in a general sense is sadly true of the UK and other Western nations. But there's encouragement in respect to these things. Notice in verse 6, he shall come down like rain upon the mown grass as showers that water the earth. Now, when I was a boy, I attended a place of worship, and the old pastor used to quote certain verses quite frequently in his sermons. And this was one of them. I didn't really understand what it meant. And some people have been puzzled by this verse. They thought about the hay field. You've cut down the grass, you want it to dry to make it into hay. Why would you want it to rain upon the mown grass? Well, all is explained when Hebrew scholars like Dr. Gill informs us the word mown grass in Hebrew is literally grass eaten away by the locusts, almost to nothing. And then the rain comes. It all starts to shoot up again fresh and green. And it's like that, isn't it? When it, in the case of the work of the gospel, in some places where it once flourished, it's reduced to something very, very small. In some places, in some towns, gospel witness is very small. But we can pray the Lord might come again with showers of blessing, that he might revive his work in these times. And how encouraged we are when we see churches like this church here that has been revived in some measure. And we pray God will continue to bless and to enlarge the work of the gospel in such places as this. So a kingdom that will endure, a kingdom that goes on. When believers are called away from this world, they're not lost to the kingdom, are they? They're taken from this present world into the world that is to come, taken to be in the immediate presence of the Saviour. Then we notice Christ's dominion. Verse 8, he shall have dominion also from sea to sea and from the river unto the ends of the earth. It reminds me of the fact that in 1862, King George of Tonga in the South Seas, he was converted by the preaching of the Word of God. And with others who come to know the saving grace of the Lord, they met with him under a banyan tree, and eventually about 1,000 people gathered with them. And they sang heartily, Jesus shall reign, where'er the sun doth his successive journeys run, his kingdom stretch from shore to shore, till moons shall wax and wane no more. Now that famous hymn by Isaac Watts, often referred to as a missionary hymn, wasn't actually composed as a missionary hymn. He was simply paraphrasing Psalm 72. And he was expanding on this psalm by bringing gospel application, as we should do. We see it in New Testament eyes, don't we? Under an ever-growing kingdom and the dominion of our Saviour, which will ever continue. He shall have dominion also from sea to sea. So prosperity, sometimes even in unusual, unlikely places. You'll notice verse 16 says, there shall be a handful of corn in the earth upon the top of the mountains. Now, if you had just a handful of corn and you wanted to put it to its best use, you probably wouldn't go to the top of a mountain, would you, to sow it? It would be a strange thing to do. But God has his people and his work is going on in some strange places. I remember hearing some time ago of Christians in Egypt, and they live in a recycling centre. Now, when I say recycling centre, I really mean a rat-infested rubbish dump, because that's what it is. But they live there to avoid persecution. They work there. They worship there. They bring up their families there. Their enemies don't want to come near them in this place. God has his people in some strange places sometimes. We, with the help of the Egyptian Bible Society, had a survey conducted to see what the possible demand for Arabic Bibles might be in Egypt. And they said they thought there's a demand for at least 100,000 Arabic Bibles. So the Lord's work is going on apace, in spite of the wickedness of man, in spite of the devil's best efforts to try and stop it. The Lord is working still and enlarging his kingdom. And come again to verse 17 as we conclude. Men shall be blessed in him. Lots of sermons, of course, could be preached with God's help on a phrase like that. Blessed in him in the covenant of grace before this world ever was. Blessed in him when Christ came to this world to save a vast multitude of men and women and boys and girls. Blessed in him when he came to Calvary and shed his precious blood. Blessed in him in the glorious resurrection and his ascension. And blessed in him now as one by one individuals are brought to a saving knowledge of the truth. And blessed in him for all eternity. No wonder David concludes with a double Amen, a doxology here. Blessed be his glorious name forever. Let the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and Amen.